Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello there, and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett with you here as we break down all the news here. And guys, we had a great weekend. Beautiful weather for the spring game.
It was.
On Saturday. And, you know, I saw a ranking. The most exciting spring game in the country was Nebraska spring game. And
really?
I think in a lot of respects, it was because of Dylan Raiola. I mean, the hype and the headlines around Dylan Raiola were as big as you can imagine. And rarely do you see a guy deliver in that moment or even exceed maybe what you thought. And I think you could argue that Dylan Raiola, his at least opening performance in the spring game, not only met what you'd think a player of his caliber would play like, but it maybe exceeded that.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's just a really good feeling right now heading into the summer months as we turn the calendar to the month of May.
Pretty good feeling. I mean, I definitely think he – well, I mean, it just depends what – on the person. It's sort of subjective, right? He exceeded what I thought. I didn't think that it would look quite that good. You know, what you're going to get, though, is people – some people are going to try to kind of layer the conversation – and say he wasn't facing a defense, there wasn't a pass rush. They played very vanilla defense. So, but all of that aside, in fact, I think you can say that and still say he looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did face. It wasn't great what he faced.
Yeah,
it wasn't like Jalen Lloyd beat a freshman DB for that long touchdown, overmatched DB, but still, the ball was there.
The throw was perfect.
The throw was there. That's what I mean. So I think you can have separate thoughts and still say, yeah, you looked really good.
Yeah, and after the game, you know, the thing I talked about was just not just what he did on the field, but just how he carried himself and the poise for a true freshman. And that first taste of the Big Ten Nebraska spotlight, that it was like not even an issue for him. I mean, he looked just as calm, like a senior walking out there.
He does.
And
didn't
look too big for him. And a lot of times with, especially freshmen, especially with true freshman quarterbacks with that type of profile, you know, you got to make sure to see if that pressure is too much for him. It was not too much for Dylan Raiola. He looked perfectly comfortable and was everything that I think everybody hoped he would be.
Well, now we've kind of reached this Matt Rhule has to walk somewhat of a delicate tightrope as he discusses his quarterback position. I mean, look.
He does.
You know, I did three interviews about Nebraska's national interviews on Nebraska's spring game on Sunday and Monday. And a big reason why was Dylan Raiola. I mean, if he didn't play the way he did, you know, the spring game's not going to get the kind of attention it got on a national level. I think we all would agree. Like, he's going to be the guy. It's a matter of how it gets to that point. And then it's a matter of Heinrich Harburg. You know, if he's not the guy, can they still create a way for him to be a part of this? And I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got a skill set that can still help this football team, even if he's not the starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he was asked after the scrimmage, Heinrich was asked after the scrimmage, how do you approach this summer? Do you do it as the team's number one quarterback or as the backup trying to overtake the number one quarterback? And his answer was, I'm approaching it as I'm the incumbent. I'm going to keep working as the starter. Now, he went on to say that's how all three scholarship quarterbacks should approach it. Dylan Raiola, Heinrich Harburg, and Daniel Kalen. So, but I thought that was telling. Sean is exactly right. Rhule has to walk this tightrope, and he walks it really well. He was effusive in his praise of Heinrich. He said, look, we get it. You know, there's a lot of attention on Dylan, and Dylan delivered. He doesn't have to say that much about Dylan at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he praises Heinrich, praises Kalen, and says the reality is you often need two and sometimes three in the you know, with a long season in a physical conference.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that whole situation, I think you have to continue to keep that aura of competition, even if you know what's going to happen. Even if everybody can see that Dylan's the guy, you have to at least make him earn it. You know, I mean, he's had one spring. He's got a summer. Now he's got to do it in fall camp. Sean. He's got to continue to – you got to push him. And if you say, here's our new king, everybody celebrate him, mm-hmm. you know, what could that do for his drive and development over the course of the offseason, a critical offseason if he is your day one starter?
Jason Peter brought up a great point. Years ago, not about Dylan Raiola recently, but – he goes, in general, referring to Nebraska, he goes, this place tends to anoint people before they've done anything. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that's been part of the problem with Nebraska football over the last 20-plus years. Like, we've given and anointed people, and we're all to blame. I mean,
100.
You know, but I think you have to be careful because we all see the talent. Well, we saw the talent with Adrian Martinez when he was a freshman. Mm-hmm. And people anointed him as a Heisman favorite the next year, and we never got that version of Adrian Martinez again.
No, some of that was injury-related, but it's a great point. I mean, I'm sure that Dylan would like to be told he's number one right now. But Robin's right. Why? Why do you have to be told that now? Just conduct yourself like you're the number one. Be that guy, and it'll probably work out. But have a competition. And it's probably only fair to Heinrich that there is a legit competition. Sure. And not just an aura, like a legit competition. And let's face it, Heinrich has gotten better. I mean, he looked better to me in that scrimmage than he did. He looks a little better as a passer. Now, he was only 49% passer last year. He has to get better as a passer. I will say this. I thought the best pass of the day was that vertical to Nate Borkature that went for 61 yards.
Think about this, though.
It was an incredible pass.
Last August, the first interview Harburg did, the first week of practice, the first question he got was, would you consider moving to tight end?
That was ridiculous.
And he ended up starting 7 games last year, winning 5 games, 8 games.
Yeah, 5-3.
As a starting quarterback, and it's like, you know, now he's going to get better. I mean,
he's not going to play tight end.
No, but like, think about how far the conversation has moved with him.
Yeah.
Where a year ago, like, that was the opening question he gets.
Yeah. He handled that well. I would not have handled that as well. that he did. He handled it well. He's a quarterback. He wants to be a quarterback. So, and he's here. He's not leaving.
You would have said, I've actually considered boxing, and you're going to be the first guy I knock out.
I mean, he's valuable, too. He's very valuable. I mean, I know he probably is a backup. He's valuable. He doesn't want to hear that. Most kids, they want to start. It's quarterback, especially quarterbacks. It's not a position that rotates. Like, it's not a defensive lineman, for instance. Most kids would just as soon go to a smaller place and start. Now, there's no guarantees for him there either, but I would hope that he understands his value. Mm-hmm. It's enormous. If something happens to Dylan, boy, here's this kid who's 6'5", 215, who's 5-3 as a starter. He's getting better as a passer. He gives you a running element. Really valuable.
Well, that's why Nebraska needs to understand his value as well. I mean, that's a limited room right now, and he's the most experienced guy they have. He's the only guy that's proven himself at this level to any degree.
Pay him.
So a guy like that carries significant value, especially considering Nebraska's starting quarterbacks – usually you miss time in some capacity. Well, which is history would suggest that. And with the way that Dylan, he doesn't seem like he's much of a runner. I'm sure he can run, but that's not his strength. You have a quarterback that is his strength. Yeah. I mean, just have the ability to mix up your looks and your packages with a quarterback that can be just as much of a threat throwing the ball as he can running it, but have that dual threat ability, there's significant value there for me.
Oh, yeah,
and so, like, just because one guy is a starter, like, if you're Harburg and you're not the starter, like, you got to find a way to get him involved in some capacity just because he brings too much to the table.
All right. As we close down opening headlines here, one entry to the portal thus far. The portal for regular players closes on April 30th, Tuesday, and we're taping this show about 1:30 right now on a Tuesday. Graduate transfers, it's a new rule this year. They have now only until Wednesday, May 1st, to make a decision. So it used to be being a grad transfer was the ultimate fast pass to jump the line and get in to anywhere you wanted. Not anymore. So that's new to this year. And I know this, I talked to Pete Nakos from On3 before the show, and that memo from the NCAA, I think, caught a lot of folks by surprise, because the grad transfer from the beginning of even the pre-transfer portal era has always been the ultimate fast pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always thought, well, like a guy like Heinrich graduating in May could go, he could leave at any time.
Not anymore. He gets one extra day.
Yeah, and I just use him as an example. He's not,
no.
I mean, we can say in this taping, he's not going anywhere, which is
now
big.
Chief Borders went in.
Yeah,
and
he's a grad. He's going
on
to
the
grad.
Surface, you're like, whoa. But if you get into that a little deeper, MJ Sherman is the starting jack. He was the guy that they rest on the reps, limited reps. Princewell Umanyelen is coming up in the program. Did I get that?
Close. Umanyelen.
Umanyelen.
Sipple got it too. I'm like, I'm third place on that pronunciation. But
so he'd be number two.
I mean, he's the most impressive freshman in the program, one of them.
Or Lenhart.
I mean, but Princewell, the way he flashes.
Yeah.
So those two guys, and then you have Vincent Shavers, who can kind of do some of those things coming up. So Chief Borders was going to play, but was not going to be a featured part. I did find it interesting, though, that Matt Rhule praised him, but that's kind of like playing chess, not checkers, I think, by Matt Rhule. I mean, he probably knew some of the things going on. Chief Borders is a great person. The coaches love him. I know the exit went well with him when he left the program. It wasn't like a heated exit by any means. I mean, I think everybody was happy for each other, and Chief's going to try to go somewhere, maybe in a bigger city that's going to fit what he's going to do when he graduates in May.
Makes sense. I mean, at one point, Rhule this spring said he was one of the most improved, he said probably one of the most improved players on the team.
Yeah, said he was a problem out there.
Yeah. So, and you know what? He might have, so what Sean, I think you're suggesting is maybe Rhule was kind of selling him, you know.
Helping him out a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, helping him out. Which would be magnanimous to do that if that's what he was doing. It's very possible he was doing that.
Well, I remember that open practice. We all agreed in our observations that he was a standout. I mean, he looked good. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is just lip service to try to hype a guy up. Like, he was good. I mean, he had the burst. He showed a little more juice than he did a year ago. So that's where it's unfortunate. I mean, yeah, they have all these other options, but that's mm-hmm. a guy that, I mean, he's a culture guy. He's a guy that would have probably played, probably would have helped in some capacity. But, you know, if he's got other motives and you got an opportunity to help him out with that, then, you know, so be it.
All right. When we come back, we'll delve back into the offensive discussion more things we learned throughout spring practice. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, as we pack up spring practice here and turn now really to the summer months and recruiting. Before we get to some offensive headlines from the spring, this segment of the Husker Online Show is brought to you by Eller Brock Norris. They've been helping Nebraska business owners protect their purpose for over 120 years. With risk management solutions built for local businesses, Eller Brock Norris partners with you on commercial insurance, group benefits, business exit planning, safety, and more. Start thinking long-term with your business and create a risk management strategy to protect it. Are your employee benefits costs going through the roof? Talk to Eller Brock. Workplace injuries skyrocketing, your workers' compensation costs? Talk to Eller Brock. Hoping to retire in the next 10 years and sell the business to family, key employees, or a friendly competitor? Talk to Eller Brock. Eller Brock Norris is helping you protect your purpose, whether it's your business and the employees in it, or your life outside of work and your future retirement goals. Head to ellerbrock-norris.com/HuskerOnline today to get your free risk evaluation. Thanks to Eller Brock Norris for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, let's get into the offensive discussion a little bit more. We've kind of hit quarterbacks hard. One thing I will start, though, on the quarterback is Rhule kept the door open that they would take a possible transfer portal quarterback, but said, I feel like the starter for this season is already in that room. Uh-huh. So, you know, I think they're always open for a depth possibility. But again, it's got to be the right guy, and it's really hard to find somebody that makes sense at this point, especially if all three quarterbacks are staying put on this roster.
Yeah, here's what he said. Yeah, just like you said, Sean, I think he said this. I think we have our starters sitting in that room right now. I think we have three guys we believe in. But if a young player comes along or a depth player comes along, he said, you know, I don't go looking in the portal, but I'm also not stupid. It would take quite a fit, like a guy that's willing to take a back seat to a highly touted quarterback and maybe a back seat to a veteran quarterback. Could happen, mm-hmm. but I doubt it. I really doubt it will happen.
Yeah, pretty much the only way I see that happen is if somebody leaves. Like if one of those three scholarship quarterbacks transfer, then you need more depth. Yeah. So probably more out of necessity than actively seeking another guy.
Okay, let's fly through these topics. I want to make sure we get through every group on the offense. But running back, we got a good taste of Dowdell. He had the game's longest run, Dante Dowdell, the transfer. Emma Johnson played limitedly. I don't think they really played him a ton in this game. Ramir Johnson, Gabe Irvin Jr. out as far as full contact this spring. So and then we saw Quinn Ives. It's a hard room to read as far as what direction they plan to take that running back.
Kind of hard. I think you can say this. In the spring, it was clearly Emmett Johnson. And I'm told that Emmett Johnson was easily the best running back in camp. Now, that's Ramir Johnson wasn't there. Well, he was there, but he was limited. And Gabe Irvin was really limited. So the question becomes to me, my guess is it'll be Emmett Johnson. That's my guess. He did a good job of taking advantage of the situation. I still think Ramir is a situational back. I guess the question becomes, can Gabe Irvin come back and win the job again from Emmett
Johnson? He's won the job twice in his career.
Yeah, can he pull the trifecta? I don't know. Emmett Johnson is just a sturdy, good, reliable back right now.
I think Gabe is the X factor just because with the way he's put together, the skill sets that he has, he just looks like what you would envision a bell cow Big Ten running back looking like. Problem is he's only shown minimal flashes just due to injury. So, you know, that's an X factor that I don't know if you can necessarily lean on. And so that being said, sure, there's a potential. He could vault his way back into that conversation, but I'm kind of with you right now. Coming out of the spring, I'm leaning towards Emmett Johnson just because I think he's the guy that can do everything the best out of that group.
Well, and Dowdell really left. I mean, you were intrigued. I mean, he played.
Was pretty well.
I mean, he's fine for a guy that they brought in with 3 years of eligibility. I mean, that was a good picture that he showed in that spring game.
Pretty good picture, Sean. I mean, I really like him in short yardage. He was just about what I thought when he got down by the goal line. He's powerful. His burst is okay. He had that, what is it, a 49-yard run? Mm-hmm. And now it was important to note that Rule said that's the first time he saw him do that this spring. It wasn't like he was doing that. But he got around the corner, and he outran some lower unit guys, I think, which was fine. I mean, he's good, but I think he's third or fourth. I mean, I think he has a lot of work to do.
His ceiling today would be about third.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which you might play at third.
Yeah. Oh, you could definitely.
He used like six guys last year.
Yeah. But you got no, don't get me wrong. Dowdell's got to be ready. He's got to be ready.
And guys, wide receiver moving to position groups, I thought that was the most upgraded position on this football team. I mean, quarterback too, besides quarterback. But wide receiver with Jamal Banks, Isaiah Nwore, Janiron Bonner with his kind of reemergence back at receiver, and then Ja'Cory Barney and before the injury, Demetrius Bell. Yeah. You know, that was a really impressive group. And then Malachi Coleman and Jalen Lloyd. I mean, they have a lot there where I think a year ago that was a deficiency to this team, where I think this year it's going to be a strength.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the receiver room versus the running back room, the receiver room's in better shape. Running back room's good. It's deep, but there's more excitement in the wide receiver room. I think that's the way to put it. There's more. I mean, it's just they're pretty well stocked. It's not overwhelming, but it's good. It's definitely better than last year.
Well, you think about how good that picture looked in the spring game, and that was with Banks hardly seeing the field at all and Malachi Coleman not even playing. So those are two potential starters that that barely even were a factor in that. So, I mean, with the passing game looking like that, with the explosive dynamic down the field, the ability to actually functionally execute the bubble screen and tunnel screens, like they've got a lot of versatility and a lot of options in that group.
I said on a show this week that Dylan – he made guys that came here that you thought would be good that hadn't done anything, he made those guys look good. Mm-hmm. And when you have a quarterback that can get it out and time it right, all of a sudden guys that didn't look very good here look good.
I've never been more excited about a bubble screen in my life. that's because of Bonner, because of
– it's been like 10 years since they've executed the plays.
Because of Banks.
Yeah, and Nayor was the one that looked like –
can block.
Look like who's the Broncos receiver that always caught those Tebow? Demaryius Thomas.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Alex Bullock looks serviceable too. He had some nice catches in the spring game.
He's in the rotation. Oh, yeah. Now, one way you can measure the receiver room is through Bullock. I mean, Bullock was a starter last year. Now, he won't be a starter this year, but he'll be in the rotation.
When Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, like, where will he even factor in? Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they go to 7 or 8, that's where he'd factor in.
Or injuries happen.
Injuries happen. Yeah.
And then you know, tight end, not a lot. I want to get in the offensive line though, as we wrap up offensive headlines here. You know, we didn't get to see Bryce Benhart or Ben Scott, but it was good to see Micah Mazzucca out there at left guard, and you noticed him. I mean, his blocking was impactful, and clearly a guy that is built to be a starter on this line, and it was good that he finished out the spring, in my opinion, on a high note.
Absolutely. Now, just like we said going into the scrimmage, it was hard to read. It was really hard. It was hard to even see who was out there sometimes. They're mixing and matching, right? But, yeah, Mazzucca being out there and looking like he did that was definitely the highlight. But I have a hard time with the – when they're mixing and matching – on both lines of scrimmage, it's really hard to get a good read for what you're looking at.
Yeah, and they weren't doing anything crazy in the run game. They're facing a vanilla defense, and so I have very minimal takeaways from the running game part of it, especially with the offensive line.
All right, when we come back, we'll shift the discussion over to defensive headlines from the spring. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
It's done. Goal of the year, Panarin! Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, win. We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel, Robin Washett, talking defensive storylines we learned from the spring. But before we get to that, the segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection. And nobody does it better quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers, 4 each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. You'll get all of this deliciousness for just $79.99. That's 20 juicy steak burgers for $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today. These are the kind of burgers that could only come from Omaha Steaks, from the mild and tender filet mignon burger to the rich and buttery ribeye burger. Every bite is backed with their 100% unconditional guarantee, also backed by Steve Sippel.
Yeah, if that ad doesn't do it for you, I don't know what would. That's amazing.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. This is not good to see like at lunchtime.
So go to omahasteaks.com. And shop for the Burger Perfection Flight today. That's omahasteaks.com and order the Burger Perfection Flight for $79.99. You're going to want to hurry, though, as supplies are limited. Thanks again to omahasteaks.com and Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show and for making Steve Sipple very hangry.
Yeah, I'm not hangry. I'm not hangry. Yes. I'm just hungry.
But let's get into the defense. We've already hit on the Chief Borders news. And I'll tell you, like, it was almost like they stashed their defense, like, as far as, like, the scrimmages and the open looks.
Good point.
No Ty Robinson. No Nash Hutmacher. Limited looks of Jamari Butler.
Tommy Hill.
Limited looks of Tommy Hill. Chief Board, not Chief Borders, but MJ Sherman.
Isaac Gifford.
Yeah. Marquise Buford.
You didn't see him.
Deshaun Singleton's out. I mean, you could argue that 75% of their key players were kind of stashed.
That's a good way to put it. And they played vanilla. Showed nothing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, last year Nebraska did have an advantage, I think, on teams because it is a unique defense. 3-3-5. And the movement and everything makes it unique. And they didn't show anything. So you don't need to show anything. And they didn't. You couldn't – I mean, really – just like we were talking about the offensive line, there's no big takeaways on the defense. Mm-hmm. What would it be?
Yeah, I mean, from a personnel standpoint, that's the main reason, but also the fact that they didn't do anything crazy. Like, they didn't have any of that pre-snap movement. They hardly blitzed at all, and that was by design. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Rhule said it for a reason. He wants it to be called the red-white shootout.
Right.
He wants to showcase the offense. He doesn't want the defense to make it a 6-3 spring game that everybody leaves
a big rock
board. Yeah, like, that doesn't do anything for anybody. It's a showcase. It's an entertainment event. So the defense was just basically there as a prop to let the offense do its thing, get people excited.
It was the Bill Callahan formatted spring games in 05 and 06 when it was kind of the ones versus the world. Mm-hmm. And the one team would just have their way, put up numbers.
Yeah, you're right. I think if you're Tony White, though, you're asking your guys for strain. I mean, yeah, we're going to be vanilla. Well, this is an offensive day, but you got to play hard. I mean, we expect you to play hard. You're in a bad situation. You're not. I don't know if he would say it this way. You could, though. You're not in an ideal situation, but we still expect the tape is going to be rolling, and we're going to be watching this on Monday. Mm-hmm. We show some effort.
There was a play, though, where a guy was going to get to Raiola. He got into him, and then, like, he stopped, and then he just took off and ran the other way.
Did he really? Not doing it.
Yeah, and one of the touchdown passes that Heinrich threw to Fedoni, clearly that would have been a sack. Yeah. The one to Fedoni where he went over the middle, broke a tackle. Broke a legitimate tackle, by the way. Good luck tackling him with your arms. We didn't mention Fedoni in our offensive rundown. I was telling you guys, I think he's the second best skill player they have.
Borkicher looked good, too.
He's not Fedoni.
No, I'm not saying he's Fedoni, but they've got tight ends.
No, Borkicher's good. Yeah, he's good. Fedoni's next level.
I won't even bring up Carter Nelson because the whole show might get turned into a Carter Nelson, Steve Sipple show.
All right, we're not going to say anything.
We got all summer to do that.
Yeah.
But
just stifle me on
guys,
that.
Vincent Shavers, though, I do think Vincent was an emerging story, especially with Chief Borders now leaving. Mm-hmm. That's another secondary level piece that's opened up. Vincent Shavers is going to play. So I'm excited about him. I thought Bullock, you know, we didn't get to see him much in these. I guess he played some in the scrimmage.
Just wasn't much to take away from it. Like Robin put it well. It was a shootout and a vanilla defense.
Ethan Nation had a nice pick.
Yeah, he did. Nation's in the mix. We should mention the injury.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway is
Blyhill.
Blyhill was in line to be the starting corner opposite Tommy, and in the second quarter they had those two injuries. Demetrius Bell hurt a knee, and then Blyhill.
Patellas.
I don't think it's a season ender for Hill, though, from what I'm hearing. I think it's a multiple month type deal, but I think that there's a chance he could still be back. Now,
really?
To what capacity remains to be seen. Now, is it a Marquise Buford plan where he could play four games? Because I do think Blyhill, a red shirt, if it made sense, where he's not going to be fully healthy for a full bucket of games, play him in four.
Yeah. I mean, does that become, if in the absence of Blyhill, would that become Jeremiah Charles? Is that what?
Or Harzog moves back to corner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's some options. It makes me a little uncomfortable that
Ethan Nation.
Yeah. I think Jeremiah Charles would be the answer right now. But, I shouldn't say that so definitively, but Rhule mentioned Jeremiah Charles.
Blyhill really has developed. I mean, that you have to give the staff credit on that one. Nobody was looking at him in the transfer portal. I mean, he was from St. Francis, a little known FCS, but you know, his pedigree is elite. His father, Leroy Hill, was a 10-year NFL linebacker that was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year at Clemson and comes from a great family.
Yeah, for a kid to come in the winter and then mark himself as this probable starter, and you know, he has 3 years left to play. So he's a young guy, you know. So that was a really budding, amazing story. And unfortunately, that happened. Same with Demetrius Bell. That picture looked really good to me before he went down. That just brief, you know, we saw him a little bit. Ja'Cory Barney and Demetrius Bell are very intriguing players.
Mm-hmm. And they went on such a bad slide of wide receiver recruiting here, mm-hmm. that when you see some good ones, you almost forgot what good ones look like.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
The Frost era, I mean,
good God.
It's like you could pick 15 people and everyone's a butt. It's hard to do.
I know, you're right.
I mean, they went like over, well, in the craziest nugget of the receiver era, of Frost era, is the two best ones ended up being draft picks, McCaffrey and Wandale Robinson left.
That's crazy.
I mean, they were second and third round draft. McCaffrey was a third round draft pick.
McCaffrey was a third rounder.
And Wandale was second round, right, Rob? Or was he third?
Second.
So, yeah, you know, the two best receivers of that era technically were draft picks, but they both left after that magical night in Rutgers.
Yeah.
The 2020
magical night.
Magical night in the empty CHI stadium. Yeah. SHI.
What a bleak time. I don't even want to relive it. That's the day after that they voted no to the bowl. Mm-hmm. All that stuff was going on.
And then those two guys went in the portal.
Wonderful.
Sean called it like covering a game in Moscow. It was like this frozen.
It was like Soviet. It was like East Germany.
We were staying, like the hotel we were staying in was shut down, basically.
Parker and I called it like we were like in like a compound, like an embassy.
Yeah, it felt like a compound. It did.
And
I don't even like to talk about it.
You couldn't go anywhere. I ordered Chinese food delivered because it was the only thing that was people were working, evidently, and the food was terrible. It was like some of the worst Chinese food I've ever had, ever.
Oh, you know one thing that Sean did, too, that was fascinating to me? They wanted to keep the door to the press box open to have air flowing through there, but it was very cold.
It was 20 degrees.
And Sean kept getting up and closing it.
I didn't know that's what they were doing.
Then somebody would open it, and then Sean would get up and close it.
I mean, they already had like
four times.
They had like glass paneling around us.
Yeah. It was not weird.
You had to wear your stocking cap and gloves in the press box.
Yeah, it was freezing.
What a time.
It was not pretty, but
no.
Yeah, two receiver draft picks were on the field for Nebraska that night. The problem is they left Nebraska.
That was a pretty good team that Nebraska had on the field.
JoJo Doman, Cam Jurgens.
Yeah. Mills was
Mills ran wild.
Yeah.
Brendan Hymus opted out of that game, which when you think about it now, it's like.
Yeah, he got drafted.
He got drafted, but Farniak got drafted, was on that team. I mean, they had some material.
Yeah, they did.
All right, when we come back, Abby Barmore will join the show. We'll take your questions in the mailbag. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washington, Abby Barmore joining us as we open up the mailbag. But before we get to that, this segment of the Husker Online Show is brought to you by Heartland Red. They're Lincoln's quality deck builders. All of the people that work for Heartland Red, they're born and raised in Lincoln. They're all their own owners, no employees, and they put together premium decks and products with custom composite and PVC decking, small decks, large decks, pool decks, standalone decks, you name it. They do lighting, privacy walls, underdecking. They've got a local showroom as well with products and samples. Everybody wants a nice deck. It's a great way to entertain, have fun for the summer, sit outside, enjoy these nice summer nights. Check out Heartland Red. They're going to get you all set up with everything you need as you build that perfect deck for your entertainment space this summer. Visit their website, heartlandred.com, or call them to get a bid set up at 402-405-5755. That's Heartland Red, based here in Lincoln, at 402-405-5755, or check them out in their showroom. Thanks again to Heartland Red for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, Abby, let's get into the mailbag. Where are we starting off at?
Okay, first one. Outside of Dylan Raiola, who was the biggest winner out of the spring game?
I said Ja'Cory Barney.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick.
Go ahead, Rob.
Barney.
Tell you.
I mean, just with his play as a receiver, but the special teams aspect, that kick return looked nice. It's been a long time since we've seen anybody advance past the 30 on a kick return, let alone rip a 78-yarder and only get tackled because he thought the kicker was on his own team.
Yeah, he ran at the kicker thinking like he was going to celebrate with him.
And he got tackled.
And then he looked at him like, what are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, Tristan Alvano, I didn't realize, like, he could. Then I realized that he got in the – I mean, he went to him. Because there's no way in an open field Tristan Alvano is tackling Ja'Cory Barney.
No, probably not. No, probably not. Now, when we found out something interesting in the postgame, or maybe you guys knew. I didn't know it. I didn't know Barney was roommates with Dylan Raiola. That's a good picture.
Roommates. Hashtag.
Yeah.
The Tommy Armstrong, Jordan Westerkamp, they were roommates, right? That was
That's a good connection. Those guys are really talented, and there's obviously a strong – in fact, Dylan called him his best friend. I like that picture. Maybe it helps keep him here if it comes to that, you know, and it's not
– Thomas Fedoni helped himself this spring too, I'd say.
Thomas Fedoni, like I said, I think he looks like the second – like when I think of the best – skill position, I guess tight ends borderline, but the best players on offense besides Dylan Raiola, I'm saying Banks and Fedoni. I think those guys are going to be gigantic. And Fedoni showed it on Saturday. He made a catch over the middle, broke a tackle on a safety or a corner that was way overmatched. And he's going to overmatch some guys. He's 260 and he runs 4.5. Say no more.
Okay, next one. With Blyhill's injury, does Nebraska go after a cornerback with some experience in the portal?
I think this staff, they've shown that they're always open for business, but it's got to be the right type of player. It's got to make sense. So if there's a player that can make this football team better, they'll make room for him, but they're not going to force it. I think year one of Matt Rhule, we saw them have to force a few roster moves just because they were short on numbers. You're not going to really see that as much anymore because I don't think they're in a position numbers-wise just to kind of make something happen. It's got to make sense. And, again, you know, they've made some defense. They've made a defensive lineman offer in the portal thus far, but they haven't been all that active. And a lot of players don't publicly – and Robin sees this in basketball. They don't publicly announce their offers generally unless you're maybe a lower-profile small school guy.
Mm-hmm. And with that position, too, like, sure, you're hurting on proven experience, but let's not act like Blyhill was some, like, seasoned vet in the Big Ten level. So, like, if nothing else, it opens the door for some of these other younger guys to get their opportunity.
Who do we have a good handle on this, by the way?
No.
I don't, Sean, I don't know that we do.
I mean, Nation, Charles, Boodle, Barnes.
Boodle, Barnes. Those are good names. Those are good names.
Yeah, Hartzog.
The Hartzog. Obviously.
Hartzog could move back from safety. They moved Malcolm Hartzog to safety. Mm-hmm. But he could go back. You're right.
So they've got options. I don't know if it's a must-do thing to go get a veteran corner.
If you were moving Hartzog back, your safeties could be Singleton and Buford, which would be all right, right? Mm-hmm. Could Marquise Buford play corner?
He started his career as a corner.
Right. He cross-trained.
Yeah, so there's options. There's quite a few options.
But, yeah, actually, it's a blow, and just how long will Blyhill be out is the question. So, next question.
Okay, of the official visitors that were here for the spring game, who do you think is most likely to commit?
Well, I think in general, the 8 official visitors, it's kind of playing the long game on all these guys. For many of them, it was their first official visit. 7 of the 8 were 4-stars. Getting out in front of them was big, but I think it went really well with Dawson Merritt. Out of Kansas City, the edge. Yeah. TJ Latif, the quarterback. I think, you know, that's one that you'd have to like where Nebraska sits. But again, we're talking about 7 4-star guys that took officials here, and those usually aren't the girls that go out with you right away. You got to court them a little bit longer and, you know, put a little bit more work into them. Abby, I got an eye roll from Abby.
Yeah, you're going down a dangerous path.
This is your favorite analogy every time, and it never goes that
well. Dawson Merritt did say he's going to speed things up.
It's Alabama and Nebraska.
How about that?
But he's a Kansas City guy, yeah. And Brian Munson had an outstanding update on Husker Online with him. And his father works for the Chiefs, got permission from the Chiefs to leave the draft to be in Lincoln for the visit. So that was big.
Yeah. So, yeah, that it sounds legit. It's just I wonder if they can wrestle that guy away. Dylan Raiola hosted him. I think they have a real chance. It's just that whole specter of Alabama. You got to wrestle him away.
Well, on three letters, Alabama. NIL.
Right. But Nebraska can play that game.
They can. It's a matter of just how they want to parcel things out and do it.
But yep.
There's no doubt. I mean, they can do it. It's a matter of following the vision that they want to follow within this program.
Yeah, and you're talking about a guy that could probably, I hate to say it, come in and play right away. You know, he looks like that type of guy.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Tristan Alvano and him missing two field goals? And then also just last year he had issues with that as well.
It was disappointing to see two misses. I mean, and they're bad misses. I mean, what we don't know was the snap good? Was the hold good? But again, we had heard that Alvano was having a very good spring and he was taking a step forward. He's a very good athlete. It was concerning just to see that because every week you play a game where the point spread's 3 to 7 points.
Yep.
3 points really matter.
Yeah.
And they matter more for a team like Nebraska because you can't leave points in the field.
No, I mean, Nebraska has that unsightly bad record in close games over since 2018. I'm going to say 5-27 off the top of my head, something like that, in one score games. I think it's the worst in the nation over that period.
I believe it.
Yeah, worst in the nation over that period. So, yeah, in the context of that, it's alarming. It was probably the biggest – sorry, excuse me for this – but the biggest downer in the spring game beside the injuries.
Yeah, I was going to say, besides the injuries. Yeah. For sure, just because that's such a critical position. I mean, their whole mantra this offseason is – was it chasing three or strive for the three?
A three-point.
Yeah. Who's directly going to score you 3 points? This guy that missed two field goals inside of 40 yards.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the inconsistency last year. Like, you chalked it up, oh, it's a true freshman. You know, he kind of started to find his groove towards the end of the year.
Sure did.
Like, he's had a really rocky start, but he was pretty reliable over the back half of the season.
And
then for him to revert back to that same issues he was having at the beginning of last year is concerning. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we got to figure out how much of that is just him. Is this just a Tristan issue, or is there bigger issues with losing Marco Ortiz and that long snapper?
Yep.
I mean, I think it's a chain reaction there, and we got to figure that thing out quickly.
Yeah.
All right, final question, Abby.
Okay, so Matt Rhule's been having some fun since spring practice ended. He went to the Zach Bryan concert last night. Me too. And also, John Cook and like a ton of the volleyball players went because they're big fans of Zach Bryan. But Matt Rhule got on the stage at the very end for the last song and was singing on the mic and having a great time.
Wow.
So, of course, I have to ask, what is your favorite concert you've been to? And then also, what was your first concert?
Was there a country guy? Was his name Clint Black?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
I was really, really young.
Wow.
And, I mean, my parents were still married. I went to Exarban.
Okay. Saw Clint Black.
When I was a young kid, we also saw Bill Cosby do a stand-up comedian act at Exarban.
There you go.
Back when
that
he was like
age well.
Okay.
He was at the peak of his career.
Right, yeah.
But Clint Black was my first concert. I mean, I don't know if that should count as what
counts.
It was.
Yeah,
but
it counts. 100% counts.
Best concert? I mean, Maroon 5 in Lincoln was probably one of the best ones I've been to in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
But probably one of my favorite ones ever was seeing Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
Outdoors in Hartford, Connecticut.
Wow.
When I was 21 years old.
Whoa.
I was on my summer internship at ESPN.
Yeah.
Went with a group of people. One gal ended up marrying Scott Van Pelt.
Is amazing.
Miranda was her name, and she's from Alabama, and she called me Nebraska. I don't think she's married to Van Pelt anymore, but it was me, Miranda, a guy
this
from
has been fascinating.
A guy from Chicago. a guy from Chicago, and I don't know where he's at.
And always go with Dave Matthews Band, not Maroon 5, in these conversations.
But it was then my good friend Nick Christensen flew in from Nebraska, and so the four of us went. And it was the most. I have a picture of it somewhere, but
it's big.
It was the most random crew. But
that's awesome.
We ended up going to like the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut after the show.
It's pretty cool.
Wild How old weekend. Were you? 21.
Just a young Sean.
Then I went to the Mets game the next night in New York City.
God dang.
And then I went to Newport, Rhode Island the next night because my friend was in town. Like, so we did it up that weekend. But that was probably one of my favorite, you know, young, we didn't have money but made it fun weekends.
You bet. That's super fun.
Those are classic.
That's interesting, Sean. I've never known that. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, my dad's a musician, so I've been going to concerts since I was an infant. So that was probably my first, watching my dad. Best concert I've ever... Best and first, well, like one of the first, was when we went out to Ames, and speaking of Dave Matthews Band, saw Dave Matthews, Ben Harper, Jurassic 5, and My Morning Jacket at a four-part little multi-concert deal. Mm. And then, Sip, you'll appreciate this, when Dave's playing, Neil Young comes on stage as a guest to sing All Along the Watchtower.
Whoa.
Elite.
Where was this?
Hilton Coliseum.
In Hilton?
Hilton Magic.
Man. Cameo by Neil Young?
Just out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, that's freaky.
Like, let me introduce my friend Neil Young.
Oh, that's freaky. Yeah, that's freaky.
I want to know when the last concert you've been to, Sip.
I can't. I mean, Guns N' Roses at PBA. A few years ago. No, we went to that. My favorite concert, I mean, the most memorable concert, believe it or not, when I was still in college was Hank Williams Jr. It was an incredible show at Pershing. Incredible. And it was, I didn't have cowboy boots, so I borrowed my roommates, and they were way too small, so my feet hurt the whole time. But it was super fun. He's a hell of a performer. But one sort of underrated one that I just thought of when I was talking was Robert Cray Band played outdoors at the baseball stadium in Sioux City, and it was really good. B.B. King and Robert Cray. It was stunning. It was like an afternoon setting in a big baseball stadium, and it was good.
What I miss in Omaha is the Ranch Bowl.
You missed the Ranch Bowl.
Well, no, it was a venue. Like, I mean, Nelly played in the Ranch Bowl.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like,
I've been to the Ranch Bowl.
Everybody that was somebody played in the Ranch Bowl.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was, when you study the history of that place, and, you know, just randomly you'd have, like, John Mayer or somebody playing there, and, like, a random, I mean, it was crazy the amount of people that
right over by Xarban.
Yeah.
Yeah, right across
72nd Street,
yeah.
In Pacific.
Yeah.
It's a Walmart now.
Yeah, right across the street from, well, and Xarban's no longer either. But
Robin been to the Ranch Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you old enough? Yeah,
I think I saw OAR there way back in the day.
Peak, wow. Like, late 90s, early 2000s, Omaha was, like, the Ranch Bowl and 89.7, the River radio station.
Yep.
I mean, that was, like, this college station at Iowa Western was like the radio. It became like a big station just because of the music.
It's still pretty big. Mm-hmm. Still pretty big.
So Abby, what's your concert? Sorry.
Well, the first one I went to was like Jason Aldean, Jake Owen, Thomas Rhett. So that was a pretty good one. My favorite obviously was the Eras Tour, Taylor Swift.
Of course.
But for my audience, I will say one I'll never forget is my sister and I went to Garth Brooks when he was in Lincoln for like $15, and we got offered front row seat tickets.
Jeez.
Just an upgrade. It was
one of the stadium,
incredible.
Right?
It was actually the one at PBA.
Oh, okay.
He was there for like maybe four nights in a row.
Was it in
was
Lincoln
unreal.
Or was it at Central in Omaha?
It was in Lincoln.
He did a four night in Lincoln too. I forgot about that.
And then we also went to the Memorial Stadium one, but it was wild to be in the front row. It was amazing.
It?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He always does that where he won't sell the first two rows of his concerts and he just gives out the tickets to people.
Hmm.
That was great.
Good one, Abby.
That show in Lincoln, I mean, that should be up there. I mean, that's one of the more memorable nights.
Just for the setting of
it. You guys all go to that?
Yeah.
When it was right, I mean, it was kind of hairy with COVID at that point. So,
Was it still hairy?
It was like right on the tail end of it.
But, you know, people, that was the first big gathering in the world.
It was the first time Memorial Stadium had hosted people since 2000.
There were still COVID restrictions leading up to that in the city of Lincoln.
So that was one of the big, big breakouts?
Yes.
Bad word to choose, but
breaks.
Actually, two of the biggest early gatherings post-COVID were in Nebraska. The Kearney Shrine Bowl was the first played football game.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I went out to that deal, and it was in Kearney. And then the Garth Brooks show. I mean,
I'll be damned.
So,
good stuff.
Fun
that was,
times.
That was interesting.
Well, all right. When we come back, lots to catch up with Robin on basketball. We'll hit on that next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Final segment of the program. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sipple. As before we get into some basketball discussion with Robin Washett, this segment, Steve Sipple, is brought to you by who?
We do this every week. Larson Motors. Let's sell some vehicles here. If you're looking for a new vehicle, go for a new experience in Nebraska City at Larson Motors. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. Major brands: Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram. It's never been easier to find all those major brands in one location. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com or at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Lovely time of year to go there. Larson Motors, real people.
Real
deal.
Real deal. I was trying to get Robin in on this.
Sorry. I
was getting all right, we'll do that next week.
Ducks in a row here.
We're going to handle basketball that next talk. Week. All right.
I had a whole cue line for you. I was like, read here.
Oh, sorry.
Cue line.
Real deals.
Real deals.
Do that all right, next let's, week. Get ready, Rob.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, Robin, right. We know the football portal closes the window on the 30th. Grad transfers May 1st. Is basketball the same days or what's
May 1st. Now, does that mean it closes at midnight of May 1st or at 11:59 p.m. on May 1st? I'm not exactly 100% sure on that, but it's May 1st. At some point within the 24 hours that is May 1st, it'll be closed.
Well, then you have 48 hours to put it in the portal. Yeah. So they can come to you May 1st, and then a school could put it in the next day or the day after if they wanted to. I don't know why you would do that. Yeah. I mean, but some people might be a day behind on their entries.
Yeah. So at this point, not expecting any further attrition. I think the current roster is what it is. Now it's about filling the remaining voids. They have three open scholarships remaining, and the two biggest areas of need are a true center, shot blocking, rim protecting, you know, all that big, long center, and then a versatile physical power forward. I think those are probably 1A, 1B, however you want to rank them. And it just so happens that they tried to address one of those needs this weekend on Sunday, Monday with a visit from 7'1" Washington transfer center Braxton Mia. He's a guy that 2 years ago was on the Pac-12 all-defensive team, was one of the top shot blockers in the conference, led Washington each of the last two seasons in block shots, shot 77% on two-pointers because pretty much everything he does is dunks. Mm-hmm. So guy can finish at the rim, he can protect the rim, and he was a really good rebounder. I think top 40 nationally in defensive rebounding rate per KenPom. So checks a lot of boxes. You know, obviously he's not a perfect player. He doesn't bring much to the table offensively outside of dunks and lobs. Nope. But I think that's what Nebraska needs. They don't have a guy like that that can go up above the rim and be that type of athlete. So with his defensive presence and then his ability to finish at the rim, whole lot to like there. And so, like I said, he visited Sunday, Monday. And as of recording time, I feel good about Nebraska's chances. I went as far as logging a RPM prediction for Mia to Nebraska. So if that goes through, Nebraska will have two open scholarships with that power forward role kind of being the last real pressing need for them to address through the portal.
The only thing I would add, Sean and Rob and Abby, is this: he is an act. This is not a plodding 7'1" player.
No, he's athletic.
Yeah, he's athletic. His feet are good to excellent. He's good around the rim. He does. His feet are good in the pick and roll. He gets to the basket and hammers it. Now, the one thing that you saw on his tape is his hands aren't great sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's the weakness they show.
He shoots free throws one-handed.
Okay, interesting.
So he's kind of got a funky little shimmy that he does with a truly one-handed shot.
But he runs the floor. I mean, he's really active. I'm telling you, I loved this film. Not overboard. I mean, he's 8 points, 9 rebounds, that type of guy.
For what Nebraska needed, like I said, he checks a lot of boxes. Now, the thing you got to watch here, though, is that he does have an injury history. So he had that really good junior year in 22-23. Mm-hmm. But then going into last season, he hurt his back, I believe. No, sorry, an ankle. Hurt his ankle. And then missed some time there, and then when he eventually got back into it, and then his wrist. He hurt his wrist there, too. So, you know, he's been dinged up for a while, which kind of dropped him out of Washington's rotation a little bit. But like I said, he still led him in blocks, even despite playing half as many games.
Yeah, he was 5 points and 5 rebounds last season. Mm-hmm. That's what he was. So, yeah, the injuries clearly affected him. I'm just saying, we've said it 3 times. For what Nebraska needs, he seems to fit it really well. Mm-hmm.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show as we talk basketball portal and recruiting. Robin, what is the recruiting windows? I mean, what's the live periods? Is there a spring live and a summer? Like, what are those? Because those are coming up now too, right?
Yeah. So the high school AAU season is underway. I think the first live period is coming up here. They've moved it around so many times that I don't exactly have the exact dates lined up, but there's usually always a brief window in the spring and then another one in June and then the big late July. There's 3 live periods in July, which that's usually where the bulk of your in-person evaluation happens, because then after that, lists start to get cut down and you start to kind of identify who the actual high school prospects are. So, you know, I honestly haven't been putting much thought at all into high school recruiting just because of the nature of roster management now. But, you know, Nebraska's been involved with, several guys. They hosted some guys on visits back in the fall. Amari Bynum, obviously, who's down at Link Prep in Missouri. Davis Fogel, who is out in Washington. He just transferred to another prep school, but he visited a guy that has been in contact with Nebraska a lot. So there's some high-level high school players that are on the radar, but it probably won't be till late July till we actually get an idea of like who's realistic, who's an actual target to watch.
Good answer.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show as we put a wrap on this week's show, guys. So the portal period, coaches on the road for football recruiting now too. And it's interesting, the rules for football recruiting have changed a lot this year. It's brand new. Coaches can now meet with juniors in person. We saw 6 Husker coaches go to Lincoln Southwest High School to see Jackson Carpenter. They've also limited your days. You have 140 days you can use, but by sending 6 coaches to Lincoln Southwest, that's 6 of the days right there on one player. But you can only go one time now to see a guy versus 2. So even for football, and Robin talked about the windows in basketball, football recruiting has changed a lot in the spring where you only get kind of one statement visit now, and you're going to probably see Nebraska do it like this on a lot of their key players where they send out a bunch of the coaches there. But, you know, this would not have been legal last year, and you would not have sent 6 coaches to a school like this. And Dylan Raiola was an exception last year, but they wouldn't have been able to talk to you. Now they can visit with you, talk to you, and hang out with you, like almost like an in-home visit. It's just got to be at the school.
Okay, that makes sense.
So brief eval period in May from the 17th to the 19th, and then the next one is there's a top 100 camp in June, and then the next big one is the end of June, and then, like I said, there's 3 in July. So those are high school recruiting. Yeah. July is where you're sealing deals.
Yeah, the portal has just changed it all for everything. I mean, even with high school recruiting, I mean, for football, it's just so different than what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So, but lots to keep up on this weekend on Husker Online. Obviously, keep you up to date on any happenings with the portal in both basketball and football. Full coverage of Nebraska baseball this weekend as well. If you're not a member of Husker Online, check us out. going to give you 2 months of access for $1 by simply using promo code NU1. That's promo code NU1. Get 2 months of access for $1. For Abby Barmore, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, I'm Sean Callahan, signing off here for another edition of the Husker Online Show.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.